say hello to a new friend on an old road. Take a two-lane trip of memories into mysteries unknown. Come along for the ride. Jim Hinckley's America. Jim Hinckley's America.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Always a great start to the day when we have a little bit of road trip inspiring music from Joe and Woody and the boys of the Road Crew, roadcrew66.com. Going to be a little cooler this morning, 46 degrees here in Kingman. It's going to only be up around 65 today, but looks like most of next week we'll be up in the 80, 85 degrees. And, well, typical Kingman. We're going to have a tad bit of wind. What I mean by that is it'll be about 25 miles an hour by this afternoon with gusts probably around 30. We call that breezy in Arizona. But today we're headed for Tucumcari. Mr. Hockaday, how are you, sir?
I am good. How about you?
Should I call you Bobby or would you prefer Robert?
I am open to either interpretation.
Oh, very good. Call me anything but late for dinner. That's my motto. So how are things in Tucumcari this beautiful morning?
Things are pretty good. We have, thankfully, the winds are died down at least this morning for a nice walk with the dogs. So that's wonderful. Nice sunshiny.
Yeah. You know, I can put up with just about anything. I'm an old desert rat, so it gets below 80. I look for my long underwear. The heat don't bother me. And I'm not a fan of cold weather, but it doesn't matter. 20 degrees or 120 degrees when that wind's blowing, I'm just not happy.
Oh, yes. I'm definitely a man of wearing a bandana and goggles around, and tourists look around at you going, what the heck is going on? And then the dust storm hits, and you're like, where can you get those?
There's a marketing opportunity in that.
Yes.
Hey, I was really excited when Connie introduced us there. And, of course, I make a pilgrimage to Tucumcari at least once or twice a year. But Film Commission in Tucumcari, gosh, what a great idea.
Yes, we are effectively Film Tucumcari is kind of, I say, the de facto Film Commission. We're kind of representing the film interests and creative aspects in Tucumcari. We're definitely trying to partner up with a lot of the other artistic groups out here, but, you know, trying to bring back and foster film production in Tucumcari is definitely an interesting mission and endeavor.
That sounds like a diplomatically, the way you diplomatically worded that was pretty good. I like that. You know, it's always a challenge, but it's things like this and projects that Connie's got going and others that really enamor me for Tucumcari. Building that sense of community and community purpose, getting some excitement there. That's pretty impressive what you guys do there.
Oh, yes. And Connie is a wonderful organizer of everything. She's definitely the linchpin of to a lot of projects, as you said. I mean, from Fired Up to the hands-on Tucumcari, just wonderful with bringing all the artists. One of our board members of Film Tucumcari was one of the resident artists, Randy Jo Esmo. She's a wonderful, wonderful creative spirit. She's actually worked on quite a few film sets herself, providing costumes and other things to shows like Marvelous Miss Maisel.
Oh, well, you know, as we had evidence of with Breaking Bad. Mm-hmm. Film companies and studios now, Mark Wahlberg setting up a major project up in Las Vegas. Film companies are looking for on-site locations and looking for dynamic places to use as backdrops. And, well, Tucumcari is just in a perfect position to capitalize on that.
Oh, yes, sir. We are definitely a wonderful backdrop. I mean, we've had...
Did we lose you there, Robert? Well, I think we did.
Oh, nope, still there. My phone decided to close. I was going to say, we've had a film scouts and a couple of one or two union reps or New Mexico film office people come through, and they say that Tucumcari kind of feels like it could be, like the entire town could be a back lot because they could use it for so many things.
Well, yeah, and if you draw a circle, say, well, 50 miles around Tucumcari, you can offer a film company just about anything they want. Any kind of setting at all.
Oh, yes. I mean, one person seemed to think that we only offered high desert, but you'd be amazed what you can throw in there.
Yeah, you know, and the other thing that a lot of people would be surprised about is Tucumcari has some interesting celebrity and connections, if you will. I was not aware until recently, and it goes to show you, the more I learn, the more I realize how little I know. But I was really surprised that Rawhide had a connection to Tucumcari.
Oh, yes. It was one of the few places, like when they had the really big, I want to say Bell Ranch, but I may be wrong. It was ranch that pretty much spanned almost all the way to Albuquerque to Tucumcari, but they filmed some aspects of the show here. And they had Clint Eastwood stayed at one of the hotels. One of our Tucumcari locals actually got to be one of the cast members, and that was Paul Breniger. He got to play the cantankerous cook on the show, and he still liked to talk about it. We actually still have some contact with the brother, the sons, I think, of Paul Breniger. They got to be judges for the last film festival. So that was wonderful of them.
Well,
and
go ahead, please.
Rawhide's actually going to come. Tucumcari Rawhide Days is coming back in June, so that's lovely for them. So we'll still be having some high, rootin' tootin' good events there.
what's the date in June for your Rawhide Days?
Off the top of my head, I believe it was around June 16th, but don't quote me on it.
Okay. I will check and make sure that that is on the Route 66 navigation app on their event section. I'll make sure that gets listed. Be kind of nice if you get Mr. Eastwood to come visit for that, but I suppose I know he's still pretty active, but you know, he's kind of like the rest of us. He's getting a little long in the tooth. So
Might be a little, there's an interesting history with that of Clint Eastwood's relationship with Rawhide, of what I've heard, that originally it was Rawhide was built as kind of a vehicle for the main star, but it was seemed that Clint Eastwood kind of became the more of the element, kind of like was it Happy Days and the Fonz, right?
Ah, yes, uh-huh.
Okay. At least that's the but. That's what I know. Connie has.
Yes, she's on the ball. She's on the ball this morning. Hey, yeah. You know, I'm going to have to put you in touch with Bob Bose Bell with True West Magazine.
Ooh.
And Bob and I have been working on a couple of projects. He grew up on Route 66, and I'll facilitate introductions. He's working on a project called the Route 66 Kids, people growing up on Route 66. And I'll be the first of the road shows will be in Prescott, Arizona on May 24th. But Bob has been talking about finding a place to start doing an annual Western Film Festival.
Oh.
And I didn't think about this until just yesterday. For some reason, it didn't click. But you know, you guys, I got to put you two together. That seems like a perfect match.
Oh, yes, sir. That would be fantastic because we've been, the Tucumcari Film Festival started off as kind of a sub event of Tucumcari Rawhide Days. And then when Tucumcari Rawhide Days at one point looked like it wasn't going to continue, I decided that it should continue, but we kind of ended up. A lot of our submissions this year and the selected films are Westerns. So we got some history here for Westerns. So we're a good ground for a Western festival.
What's the dates for your film festival?
The dates for the film festival are April 26th and 27th.
Okay. Is this going to be films shown down at the Odeon Theater? Or?
Yes, sir. At the Odeon Theater. Historic downtown Odeon Theater. And also, we're going to be hosted at the Tucumcari Railroad Depot for our VIP events, such as our VIP social hour and an after party.
Oh, this is exciting. You know, for exciting on many fronts, a lot of people, you know, you think of Route 66, and that's what a lot of people see with Tucumcari, which is great, the neon, the motels, the restaurants. But, you know, it's easy to get so narrow-minded when you focused, myopic on Route 66. And I think you could look down a beer bottle with both eyes. They miss the downtown Tucumcari, which is really coming to life. And the theater, what's that, 1936, that theater opened?
Yes, sir. That was, yes, 1936. And according to the owner, Christy Dominguez, wonderful woman who's letting us be in there, she said that it was built for the kind of the common man sort of element, so kind of the almost like the penny theater sort of thing, but then ended up kind of an ironic thing that the Princess Theater, which Connie and a bunch of other organizations here are trying to rehabilitate, they have some progress on that one, was kind of more of a I guess a higher end one, and it looks like the common man won out on this one because
And Nolan Stoltz had a question. He says, is the Odeon only open for special events, or is it open for regular features as well?
Right now, it is in the middle of transition, since the owner is going through some personal items, but they are, yes, they're currently closed. They'll be open exclusively for the film festival upcoming. But that may change around as they go, as things change. So they hopefully with a may or may not have new owners shortly. But then after that, they may be open for other aspects. But as far as I know, yeah, just for the film festival.
That's a little worrisome.
Yeah.
Your film festival, is it just strictly independent films, or are you also showing classic films of any kind?
At the moment, we are showing purely independent and the ones that were submitted to our festival. So we have everything from United States ones. We have a couple from France, two from Switzerland, and one or two from the UK. So,
ooh. And basically Westerns. This is going to be interesting.
Yeah, Westerns. We actually have a very nice sci-fi one. So that within the mix, and at least one good documentary.
I'll have information about the film festival and this program on our website and a blog post in the next day or two. If there anybody who wants a little more details, I'll have a link to your website as well. I've uncovered a couple Westerns. This has nothing to do with your film festival, but as you, I apparently have an interest in films. I've turned up a couple films that I'd like to recommend for your viewing. Are you familiar with a movie called The Terror of Tiny Town?
No, I am not. But now that you're saying it, I'll have to look into it.
This is the most bizarre thing. It was apparently made, I think, 38 or 39. It was supposed to be a serious Western. Complete gunfighters, blacksmiths, dance hall girls, the whole thing. But it was advertised with an all, quote, midget cast. The entire movie is dwarfs. And it was made as a serious Western. That's definitely a tad bit different.
Yeah. I mean, it would definitely be interesting to watch. I know that there are certain moments when you've watched, I want to say, like Star Trek and The Hobbit and Lord of the Rings, where they utilize kids and dwarves for perspective shots, because if you want to make something look really big, you have somebody small in the foreground or something. So it's very fun little tricks, but that would be neat to see an entirely, you said it was entirely dwarves and
yes, Shetland ponies, the whole nine yards. It's
that would be fantastic.
And what makes it hilarious is it is played as a serious movie, as a serious drama. But I don't know how you could possibly consider this a serious drama. It's so comedic. The state of New Mexico has really gotten aggressive with film commissions. Are you affiliated with the New Mexico Film Commission? Or?
So I am a film liaison for the county, which is kind of a volunteer position. So this is kind of where Film Tucumcari kind of got its start, was that film liaisons are basically either volunteers or city employees or municipality employees that are appointed to be kind of, as I said, the liaison between film productions and the community to kind of ease the communication things and then, you know, brief everyone, make sure that the city officials and municipality and county officials know what's going on and people in town knows what's going on. We actually have quite a few productions in town right now that have been rolling through. So, film is alive and well here. We've definitely got things, but essentially I am not a direct agent of the New Mexico Film Office, but we certainly are in collaborations. And as you said, with the getting aggressive, they just passed legislation a little while ago. So it used to be that there was, you could get up to about 25%. Rebate tax incentive or a tax credit. They recently changed the rule. It was a rural uplift zone percentage. If you filmed in a rural area, you get a 5%. They recently upped that to 10% because they calculated that it's about 11% increase in your costs if you come filming out in a, what it was considered a rural area, which is about 75, a radius of 75 miles outside of Albuquerque and Santa Fe County, or Bernalillo County and other ones. They might have changed it to where it was like center of town for them, but Tucumcari is definitely in that zone. So we have the rural uplift is now 10%. So you can get up to 35% tax incentive.
That is a real boost for rural communities, especially if they have a good base of partnerships, community partnerships, which you have in Tucumcari. Nolan has a question about the Route 66 category for submission. Can you?
Hello, Nolan. Good to see you again. I remember your submissions for the festival. The Route 66 submission category is kind of a overall very open kind of category involving Route 66. We would definitely want to celebrate the elements of Route 66. We have sadly not gotten too many submissions in that regard. Although I did get an email recently from someone who has, I want to say mini docs of Route 66 that are about 2 minutes long that, because I did not realize that our little submission aspects, we have a minimum of 5 minutes, but I guess I could lower that to 2 minutes so we could slip them in potentially.
Are you still taking submissions or?
Or is it think closed we term? Are. We have an extended deadline. I want to say in a couple of days, we're still taking submissions.
Okay. Note of that. You know, aside from Rawhide, are there any other classic films or television shows associated with Tucumcari?
Connie can correct me on this, but I think it was, Blacktop. Something with Blacktop.
Two-Lane Blacktop.
Two-Lane Blacktop. That's what, yes.
Okay.
That is another one that was associated with Tucumcari. They had a free screening a while ago on that one, oddly enough, and we might have another free screening coming up at some point, since we'll hopefully have some good weather to where we could do some outdoor screenings. That would be very fun, because I've always had a kind of a love affair with the idea of bringing back a drive-in or something similar.
Two-Lane Blacktop is kind of one of those low-budget movies that somehow become a cult classic. And almost that entire movie was filmed in locations along Route 66. It's kind of intriguing. I think that was 1971, 72.
Yes.
You mentioned the drive-in theater in communities such as Tucumcari that have basically at least a 9 or 10 month season. With the popularity of Route 66, the old neon, the motels, the nostalgia, I'm surprised some visionary hasn't opened a drive-in theater in Tucumcari. I'm really surprised by that.
Yes, this is quite curious on that element. There's, I'm trying to think where it was. The last one was, used to be on the kind of the east side of town. There used to be one right next to the old truck stop. They're actually looking at potentially redeveloping that area. So there's a chance that it could be going in there, or there was supposedly one near the Mesa Lands Community College as well. I've actually found a nice service that we could theoretically do kind of a drive-in or element where all you need is the projector and the app, and then people can, you know, bring up, you know, come to the drive-in area, just download the app, and then they have the audio on their phone and we just project.
Ah, yes. A little bit of the old, a little bit of the new. What a great idea that would be.
Yeah. And as Connie just pointed out, yes, Hell or High Water was also filmed in Tucumcari. And also we had the Bands of Enchantment TV show, which is now at the rail yards, but started off at the railroad depot. And continuing with Route 66 element, we did have a recent kind of road trip movie that came through and filmed, which was oddly enough directed by Mally Elfman, who is Danny Elfman's daughter, and this movie was called Next Exit. She loved driving around Tucumcari and along the areas in New Mexico. She kept stopping the production to say, ooh, I like that sky, I want to stop it. And then the director and the co-directors and producers were like, no, we've got enough sky shots, but you know, we're definitely the big sky country area.
Oh gosh. You know, you've got some stunning sunsets in the winter when Tucumcari Mountain has a touch of snow. Oh my gosh. You guys have got, landscapes there. It's really something. Framed with a little bit of neon. I will have to look up Hell or High Water. That one does not sound familiar to me. I'll have to, now you've intrigued me, and I'll have to do some, a little bit of digging into that.
Oh yes, Hell or High Water. It stars Jeff Bridges, Chris Pine.
Okay.
And, fantastic Native American gentleman, which fortunately my mind doesn't remember his name exactly, but I believe he gives a grand performance. It's a great bank robbery movie, as Connie says. Yes, it'll have you in, it's an emotional roller coaster for sure.
You know, I'm just really excited about this idea. The film festival intrigues me too. I have seen a couple of these small towns create film festivals that somehow take on a life of their own. And at least for one weekend a year, the place turns into an international film mecca, and I'd sure like to see that happen for you folks there.
Oh yes, it would be fantastic, and we definitely want to become part of the kind of the Western and film festival circuit in the area, because there's a lovely one up in Raton. Not sure if you've heard about it. Yes, the Spaghetti and Westerns.
Yeah, I've heard. I don't know much about it, but I have heard of it. That would be the classic. Yeah, spaghetti westerns, the ones that Clint Eastwood for a few dollars more, and those kind of relatively low budget westerns from the 60s and 70s.
Oh, yes. And this train does stop in Tucumcari.
Do you still have, I know you don't have passenger service there in Tucumcari, but do the trains still run through Tucumcari?
Yes, sir. We still have the cargo train still run through. I mean, there's been, you know, the fevered dream of bringing back some sort of passenger service would be fantastic, I think, because we used to have the troop transports come and, you know, come through, and they would, you know, come off, and then, you know, they go to the Princess Theater or the Odeon. And I did hear a rumor a while ago that there was Route 66 at one point did come through downtown, and then it kind of changed and, you know, went to where it is now. This was the rumor that I had heard. Oh, Greater Lansing film is happening now. Oh, nice.
Maggie May is with Ransom E. Olds Museum and Motor Cities up in East Lansing, Michigan. Oh. Yeah, you know, I've heard that rumor too. I don't know. I've seen no verification of that at all. But I'm smart enough, like I said earlier, the more I learn, the more I realize how little I know. I have found some, you start digging into these things and you find out that for 2 weeks in April of 1932, Route 66 or, you know, went down Second Street or, you know, it's just strange. The highway evolved from, and it's just, that's what it's doing. Do you have any plans or have you given any thought to putting together, tying a film festival or the film commission into the Route 66 centennial?
Oh, yes. I was just about to bring that up as well. So, yes, we are contemplating lots of fun plans. Maybe as we continue with the Tucumcari Film Festival, implementing it that way. I've heard that the 60s, there is a, in Moriarty, there was a Route 66 item going on. So we were looking, yeah, we're definitely looking into it. We definitely would love to have a Route 66 situation happening there, because we could easily do a drive-in situation for the Route 66 things. That would be very fun.
Well, let me put a bug in your ear. You know, ideas are 10 cents a pound. It's the people who make them happen. That's the challenge. But, you know, maybe tying it in with a Route 66 festival and having a film festival that centers on road trip movies might be kind of fun.
Take an adventure with us with Road Trip.
Yeah, Tulane Blacktop. You can start there and work into maybe the long trailer or They Drove by Night. Some of the other great roadcast road trip movies. Might be a lot of fun.
Here's a was Cannonball Run a road trip movie or no?
I would I would consider that a road trip movie, sure. Yeah. Anything with cars, wheels, and the highway, I would consider a road trip movie of one kind or another. And America's love affair with a road trip, I tell you, you know, it goes back a long ways. There's get into some of the great classic movies, like they become time capsules. You know, they really, really become time capsules. I'll tell you what I've gotten sucked into lately with my breakfast ritual is the old Arizona Highway Patrol series with Broderick Crawford from the late 50s. I find the cars, the road, the roadside culture, it's really kind of an interesting window on that era, if you will, if you get a chance. Okay. It's on YouTube.
And that was?
It was called Highway Patrol. And Highway it was with Broderick Crawford back, I think, 55 to 59, the series ran on television.
That reminds me of just thinking of the, I think it was a 1950s or 1960s, but it has Michael Douglas. I think it's called The Master's Touch, where just to show how cars have evolved, they have these car chases because it's, you know, basically he's a thief and the police are trying to come after him. But like the 1950s old cars just smash into each other the entire time and are completely unharmed.
Yes. Nolan, thank you. Nolan said there's a movie titled Naked Youth 1960. Was filmed on 66 east of Tucumcari at Cedar Hill Station.
Ooh.
Well, Nolan, you've done it again. I'm not familiar with Naked Youth or Cedar Hill Station. So now I've got a... Thank you, Nolan. Now I've got something else to consume some time digging into.
Oh, and also thank you, Nolan, for Wild Youth. So Naked Youth and Wild Youth. And I'm glad that we were able to get you on the track with the film festivals. It's an amazing journey, I'm sure. lots of people to talk to.
What is your requirements on this film festival? What kind of, for submissions, what is it you're needing?
With each category is very different. We have everything from, as we said, the Route 66 category, which is kind of open, has to involve, at least with that one, has to involve Route 66, be some element of, you know, history with it, you know, to, you know, celebrate the aspect of it. Then we have a whole bunch of other ones like Westerns and modern Westerns, AI, and, you know, what happens with that. Because it is definitely a big thing right now within all the unions and everything, and everyone's kind of consideration of how AI is going to be moving forward with it. You know, how can we, you know, coexist or use AI to our, you know, the benefit, you know, of man, as much as people have the Skynet mentality that it might come after us. I personally view it as a tool, because even though you can have it write great works, you still need a great editor.
And well, you know, people always fear change, and any technological advancement, be it automobiles, television, AI, they're good and bad. There doesn't seem to be any happy medium here. But AI, I work with a marketing company. He does develops video content things for clients, and just in the last 12 to 18 months, it's astounding what AI can accomplish and do, and how it can be harnessed. It's just overwhelming, and I am confident it will dramatically change, well, the film industry. But I think there's always going to be a need, at least for the foreseeable future, of good quality location shoots. And what you have there in Tucumcari, and we mentioned the surrounding area, Nara Vista, you know, that's just another like example of untapped areas for film locations.
Oh yes, it's amazing how many little spots that you might find. I mean, I ventured around a friend's ranch at one point recently, and it's amazing just the little nooks and crannies that you might find. Some of the nice canyons, just amazing what you can find in New Mexico. I mean, the element of, I mean, usually you find it, one example I have in my mind is usually Hawaii is an example of microclimates, but that can actually happen in New Mexico. I mean, there are little sections in New Mexico, like most of New Mexico, you say, no, you can't really, you know, grow wine because of, you know, this, that, and the other thing. It's too dry or too wet in some spots, but then you find these little nooks that are great. So just finding that right spot for your production, that's possible in New Mexico and in Tucumcari.
Well, you have the cultural aspect too. You know, you have the wonderful Western sceneries in New Mexico, Arizona, Utah, Colorado. New Mexico, though, for me, is really unique because of the rich diversity of cultures. They can add some spice, not only to the food, but to as filming locations and for stories.
Oh, yes, definitely. Just that nice variety of everything. I mean, as a background actor, I've had the good pleasure of working on so many productions, and it's just amazing to talk with people and to be on them on the sets with every you know, all the storytellers that come on the set, you know, from the director on down. It's amazing.
What is your background as far as film, Bob?
So my background in film is I have a degree in digital filmmaking, and I've worked on numerous sets from background to producing my own material. And so I'm an actor, director, videographer, and producer.
And what kind of like me? I'm a jack of all trades and a master of none. But
better than a master of none.
Yes. Well, it sounds like you're the perfect man for this job in Tucumcari. It sounds like you're ideally suited for this.
Oh, yes.
It'd be kind of Tucumcari would be an ideal location again for like eventually down the road, perhaps setting up a an actual film studio or production company
out of Tucumcari.
I imagine that's in your vision.
That would be fantastic. We've had a few stops and starts on one project, but we're always open for somebody to come in and build something, because it would be fantastic to push the, you know, something to have, you know, a standing set, because I went to a school down in Portales, and there's quite a good little group of the program out there is fantastic, but it'd be fun to invite them up to Tucumcari to film.
Are you working with does Mesa Lands Community College have any kind of programs affiliated with film production or?
At the current time, not exactly. There, as I said, there was one project that was kind of stops and starting in fits, but they have a small media program, but we are definitely looking into trying to help them grow it. The interim president, Dr. Moss, is very supportive of media projects and everything that's happening here. So I believe there is a possibility.
Well, I'm not surprised. Mesa Lands Community College is another thing, and I don't want to sound like I work for the Tucumcari Chamber of Commerce, but Mesa Lands Community College is another one of the little surprises in Tucumcari. For such a small school, they make a big impact. They're a very progressive school with a lot of innovative programs. So I can see where they would definitely tap into something like this, most definitely.
Not to sound like I work for the Chamber of Commerce, but okay. I mean, full disclosure, I am the vice president of the Chamber of Commerce.
Well, there you go.
But Mesa Lands has several fun programs, such as the Cowboy Arts. So they have a fantastic Farriers program and a world-class rodeo program. And they have, every year they have the Iron Pour, which is coming back this year, which you can see a whole bunch of artworks. And you can, if you go to the Mesa Lands Dinosaur Museum and Research Lab, you can see the bronze castings of dinosaur bones and statues all around. They have a couple of them actually on display, I think, at the Albuquerque Natural History Museum, maybe. Almost all of the bronze or metal statues of the dinosaur bones are from Tucumcari.
Well, since you brought up that you're with the chamber, we can deviate just a tad bit here. the dinosaur museum, that's the one. You're gonna. We'll talk. I've got something that just popped up on my phone. I have to share with you in just a moment. But the dinosaur museum is truly a surprise. Mm-hmm. To find such a world class museum, basically in a nondescript building on a side street, it is just shocking. That is a real gem. I highly recommend that when people ask me about things to do with a family while traveling Route 66. I try to always point them in that direction.
Oh, yes. Lonnie and Axel, the director and the doctor who's in the lab, they do a fantastic job there. It's a wonderful, wonderful place to stop. And it's amazing, as you said, just to walk up to a nondescript building and walk in and see them. Just everything that's going on, great experience there.
As we were talking, like I say, I've been working with Bob Bozbell on some projects. And I tell you, this is kind of odd because I just checked. He is not listening to the program this morning, which leads me into my paranoia realm, wondering how he knew this. But this just popped up on my phone as an email from Bob Bozbell. He says, as you probably know, Two-Lane Blacktop is one of my favorite road films. And he says, we're going to feature Dennis Wilson in the car in the last spreads of my new book as a kind of coda to everything. We were just talking about Tulane Blacktop. I thought that was kind of interesting. That I don't know how you knew that just popped up. So, since you're with the Chamber of Commerce, also I might ask, Tucumcari is really ideally situated. You've got high speed internet right there in Tucumcari, as I understand, fiber optic.
Yes, sir. Along Route 66 and kind of spreading, kind of branching out from there. So our Route 66 is lit up not only with neon, but the internet as well.
I get a lot of inquiries about people looking to relocate. There seems to be a real movement of people looking for small town America, getting away from big things. And, you know, Tucumcari is ideally suited for that too, if somebody's looking for a remote work kind of situation. And something else I need to encourage people to give you a holler about.
Oh, yes. Definitely have that in spades, in small town America aspect. Sorry, go on, sir.
Is there anything else we can encourage people with today on Tucumcari standpoint? Anything else you wanna try to attract people with?
So we got as we said, the Dinosaur Museum, the film Tucumcari. Oh, and as a little benefit to your listeners, from Tucumcari Main Street, we're doing early bird pricing. To where if you use code 25 on main, you can get 25% off our VIP badges.
Okay, 25 on main?
Yes.
Okay. I will, I'll be doing a blog post on the Jim Hinckley's America website about our program today, the film festival, about Tucumcari, and I'll make sure that that's noted as well. What comes with this?
You get access to all our screenings. We might have some of the filmmakers in attendance, and you might be able to ask them questions after their screenings and chat with them.
Very good.
It'll be much more involved than just coming and seeing a film. You actually get to see the people who made it on some aspects, and then we'll have a VIP social hour where you get to network and discuss things with your fellow enthusiasts and or some of the filmmakers and actors. And then also attend our award ceremony.
This is a question unrelated. I don't even know where to go with this. probably shouldn't even go here. One of the strange things that come up, I get a lot of questions from people planning Route 66 trips. And the first time this question popped up, I blamed it on COVID. It was in the summer of 2020. And oddly enough, it's escalated. 2021, I received a similar question 5 or 6 times. So far this year, I've received this question about a dozen times. Some people looking for nudist colonies on Route 66. Now, I don't know if that's another business opportunity to pursue in Tucumcari, but I don't even know where to go with that.
That's definitely an interesting one. It reminds me of there was a Peter Sellers movie where they, I think it was in Pink Panther. Yeah, maybe it was Pink Panther.
One of the Pink Panther movies, yes.
they happened upon a nudist colony. Maybe somewhere out in the county someone could pursue it, but maybe not too close to Tucumcari.
I thought that kind of brighten your morning up. It's odd. It's kind of odd because I just kind of... question caught me off guard, but it's odd that now it's the number of inquiries are increasing. And I thought, that's just kind of odd. I don't know where to go with that.
As you said, there's the feeling of needing to relocate somewhere to small town America. And maybe there's a bit of wanting to experience the wild freedom.
Well, I'm glad that provides you'll be thinking about that all week and smiling, I'm sure. Yeah, Bobby, I want to thank you so much for taking time this morning to do this. And hopefully we've inspired a road trip or two. And hopefully we've given the film festival a bit of a boost.
Yeah. And,
well, I like encouraging people to visit Tucumcari. You know, my philosophy on these things is simple. If we make a community a place that people want to visit, we make it a place they might want to live, to raise a family, to open a business, or to retire. And I think Tucumcari fits that bill quite nicely.
Oh, yes. We have so many aspects that could be very nice for retirees. It's very nice and quiet on many aspects, but it's very cozy. And I mean, just thinking of events that are coming up, we're going to have a special Cinco de Mayo event. There's a art installation situation going up soon. Oddly enough, not exactly directly on 66, but up near up Highway 104, there'll be an art. It's called Art City. That'll be neat to, if you ever want to come. It's still under construction, but it'll be a very neat situation going on. Have lots of art installation. There's so many things going on. So we got Cinco de Mayo, Rawhide Days, and and we also have a light parade that happens. So many, as stated, so many things, and definitely check on what's going on by following, the Tucumcari Main Street, Tucumcari Chamber, Film Tucumcari, so many things.
You mentioned Highway 104, and I'll kind of button this up a little bit, but that, to me, Highway 104 up to Las Vegas, that is got to be one of the top drives in the state of New Mexico. That is an absolutely wonderful drive.
It was voted one of the loneliest roads in New Mexico.
You know, that's fine and dandy. It's a beautiful drive. Just an absolute beautiful drive. And it's another reason to come spend some time in Tucumcari and make some day trips.
Oh, yes. Yeah. We can be your hub for a lot of day trips. From come from Tucumcari or stay in Tucumcari, have a day trip out, as you said, to Las Vegas, to Conscious Lake, Ute Lake, and the Santa Rosa and the Blue Hole. Do some scuba diving. Sounds kind of weird, but right in the middle of the desert, you can do scuba diving.
You know, the Blue Hole is probably one of the few attractions on Route 66 that there's no hype. It's exactly as implied. It's a big blue hole. Bobby, thank you so much for doing this morning, taking time from your schedule. I really appreciated this, and I was really eager to talk with you and learn more about the film festival. And well, I hope it's a very successful event for you this year. I really do.
Yeah, thank you, Jim. And looking forward to any chance that you or your listeners might attend. And thank you so much for having me.
Oh, you bet. I won't be able to make it this year, but I'll be coming through there. It looks like I'm headed to I've been asked to speak at the Route 66, AAA Route 66 Road Fest in Tulsa at the end of June. So I'll be rolling through town sometime in that era around the end of June.
But end of June. Yeah. Okay. So then that would be
a little late for that one, but I'll sure get this up on the website probably by tomorrow afternoon. I'll have something up and we'll go from there. Right. Does anybody have any questions for Bobby while we've got him here? Please ask away. Let's see what we got. Nolan's done it again. He comes up with another one, a document called Fatherless 2017. Actor, comedian Baron Vaughn goes to Tucumcari to meet his family and track down his father.
Uh-huh.
I don't know where Nolan comes up with all these things, but he really, really comes up with some interesting, obscure, and thought-provoking locations and places.
Oh, and oddly enough, speaking of tracking, we actually got Tucumcari got mentioned on the show Tracker recently. It's a very funny little moment of he had a job in Tucumcari, so
You know, now that would be, my pa always said, better to fill your head with useless knowledge than no knowledge at all. And if somebody had some time, it'd be interesting to find out how these things are, where, how often these have been woven into scripts, movies, programs. Just an example, Sopranos, the episode of the Tony Soprano where he was in the coma, and it was Mr. Finnerty. He went to that convention. His driver's license shows Stockton Hill Road, Kingman, Arizona. So you're kind of curious to how many times they've weaved these things in to programs. Yes, and
then there's
and how
like
it comes
one...
about.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, then there's one moment. What is it? I think it's called, there was a show called The Brave. They had one moment in there, or was it The Brave or one of the ER shows where, they say, oh, where are you at? She's like, oh, I'm in Tucumcari. So a lot of fun little stuff.
Yeah, and you wonder how they came, how they just come up with that random tidbit. They must have obviously came through town or knew of Tucumcari at some point.
Yes.
Speaking of small towns and things, like I say, I really appreciate this. Next week, we're going to take a little bit of a detour off Route 66. We're going to wander down to San Pedro River country in southern Arizona and visit with Ron Stewart. He's with the Fairbank Museum there in the San Pedro River riparian area, southern New Mexico, southern Arizona. I'm really excited about this because speaking of old Western towns and places, Fairbank, Arizona is near Tombstone. And it's linked with one of my favorite Western characters, Jefferson Davis Milton. And can you imagine, judging by his name, anyone want to take a guess which side of the Civil War his family was on? Jefferson Davis Milton. If you get a chance, do a little Google search on Jefferson Davis Milton. I don't know how he fell through the cracks of history and time, but this fella, he made Wyatt Earp and Doc Holliday and those boys look like Cub Scouts. He was really, really something. We'll be talking about that next week with Ron Stewart. And the week after that, on the 28th, we're going to be talking with Reese Martin of Cloudless Lens Photography, and who happens to also be the president of the Oklahoma Route 66 Association. They are doing some dynamic stuff out there in Oklahoma. They are, boy, I tell you, they're selling everything on the, when it comes to Route 66, they're selling everything on the hog, including the squeal. They've figured out how to do this. They really have.
Yes, but like everything from the Route 66 soda to, the Route 66 soda is fantastic, I think.
Yeah, I like that. Hey, you know, Royal Apprentice. Connie, now you've done it. Now I got to figure out Royal Apprentice. I'm not familiar. I got to read up on
Royal Apprentice. Oh, yes, they have a fantastic little display at the Tucumcari Railroad Museum about Royal Apprentice right now.
I'd like to kind of fill me in just a tad bit.
I don't know too much. He would have to know. He's a rough rider from Tucumcari. Got it.
Okay. Thank you, Connie. Well, you know, that's interesting because one of the first reunions and first recruitment drives for the Rough Riders was in Las Vegas, New Mexico. And I don't know if it's still there, but the Rough Rider Museum was up in Las Vegas as well.
Oh, yes.
Just a little, little bit of a tidbit.
I mean, it was kind of funny how there's this rivalry right now kind of on some level between Arizona and New Mexico for some things. But then there's a moment in the movie, I want to say of one of the movies of Rough Rider, where the two groups of Rough Rider recruits meet and they say, where are you from? And the one goes, New Mexico. And the other one goes, Arizona. And they go, yeah, good to see you.
That's the spirit. Speaking of Tucumcari, and I got to give a shout out to the people who make these things possible, these programs. And of course, we depend a lot on contributions through crowdfunding, Patreon. We do some exclusive content, throw a few things up there. But we've got some pretty good sponsors. One of them is David Brenner down at the Roadrunner Lodge there in Tucumcari.
Oh, yes. He is a film festival pioneer, and we're grateful for him.
He's got an anniversary coming up. Pretty good celebration here. 10 years of the putting that place together and making it a destination. I told David the other day on his 10th, he mentioned his 10th year, 10 year anniversary coming up. And I told him, congratulations and condolences. he has had a time, but I tell you, he has transformed that into something really special and spectacular. It's more than a mere motel. He's poured himself into that. And yeah, you know, that's one of the things that Tucumcari really has in spades is some great, classic Route 66 motels, probably the most in one location anywhere on Route 66.
Oh yes, we got so it, we have. I think I was. It was described as one of the most well preserved, biggest stretches of Route 66 along Route, maybe New Mexico or something. I have to be fact check on that one, but man, I mean, we recently have was the Apache Motel sign. Recently had to be taken down because there was a chance that it was going to fall down. But they're trying to rehabilitate that, and the Apache Motel is under renovation now. So,
very good.
As far as I saw recently, but she's really trying hard. So, any support for that project is definitely very well merited.
Very good. Guys, I want to thank everybody who joined us this morning, and hope you'll be with us next week. Like I say, we're going to take a bit of a trip into the Wild West down to San Pedro country. One of the last real natural riparian areas in southern Arizona, and just going to be rich with history. And again, Jefferson Davis Milton, I'm sure we're going to be talking about him next week. I don't even have words. He was a one-armed lawman after a gunfight in Fairbank, Arizona in 1900. He lost use of one arm. Didn't slow him down at all. He continued his career well into the 20s and 30s. And one tough character, I'll tell you what. My friends, I hope you enjoyed this, and I it'd be great if anybody can attend the film festival. I'd sure like to hear from you, and let's see if we can make this film festival grow. And by 2026, maybe we can make it one of the biggest in the country.
Oh yes, that would be fantastic. Thank you so much, Jim.
Oh, it's been truly my pleasure. I've enjoyed this immensely. I'm always amazed how fast the time goes, but it's the whole idea behind this podcast is inspiring road trips and sharing America's story. And that America's story is told by people, fascinating people, interesting people, and you definitely qualify.
And, oh, yes. I mean, you've definitely, I mean, triggered memories of some of my family's Wild West adventures from a deputy who had to fight a miner things to being one of the first people to operate a radio chasing after Pancho Villa.
Oh, well, you know what we've done here now is we're going to have another program. And I think let's do this again. And let's talk about Western connections and gunfighters and, people of the Old West. I think that'd be a great program. And I'll you just gave me a great teaser, and I'm very serious. I'd like to have you back again. We talk about your family, but I'll add to that and give you a teaser. My wife's family, my wife's father was born in Tombstone, Arizona, and his grandfather was the sheriff there in Cochise County. And I'm sitting here at my office looking at his 41 caliber Colt revolver. It's on my desk. Oh,
wow.
Yeah. Well, my friends, until we meet again next week, you know, take care. Have a great week and make a simple goal this week. See if you can get a smile on somebody's face or make somebody's day a little bit easier. In the meantime, You take care, have some fun, and we'll do this again next week. How about a little bit of music there from Joe and Woody and the boys of the road crew to, well, inspire another road trip or two. Bobby, thank you very much. Take care, my friends.
Say hello to a new friend on an old road. Take a two-lane trip of memories into mysteries unknown.
Hey, guys, so we had a lot of fun this morning, and I want to thank everybody who joined us. Like I say, we'll do this again next week. And sure hope you can join us. Invite your friends. Let's make it a party. And one more item to put on the list is the podcast will be published later today. It'll be available on Spotify and major podcast platforms. We also have a website on Podbean with all our archived programs. And we have an embedded player on the Jim Hinckley's America website. So you don't have to ever miss an episode. But it's more fun when it's live. So invite your friends and let's make a coffee party next week. Vaya que Dios, mi amigos.